Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be here and in the presence of church family and friends, and we thank you for being here today. I know that there's so many places that you could have been today rather than be here, but you chose to be here, and most of that choice is because of your love for God, because of your love for the Messiah. The sacrifices made that allow us to have that relationship with God. I want to thank everybody for participating in the worship services, the singing, the prayers, and the scriptural text of the morning. When I asked earlier today what the lesson title for today is, and it's simply Sunday or Fun Day. Not Sunday as in S-U-N-D-A-Y, but S-O-N-D-A-Y, Sunday. The Sunday gathering of Christians for worship and fellowship is important in this message today. And I want to challenge you to make the Lord's Day a high priority in obedience to God. It's important. My father would say, you'll make the right choices or in the end wish that you had. And when that end comes, if you haven't made the right choices, your time has run out. The story is told, and I love to tell this, but I enjoy this time of year, the fishing, NFL football, baseball, and yesterday started the new season for college football. And, of course, the WNBA is getting ready to wrap up their season. I enjoy those things. But this story is told of two men who were fishing one Sunday morning. And when the fish weren't biting, they began to feel guilty about skipping church. One man said, I guess I should have just gone to church rather than gone fishing. The other man replied, well, I couldn't have gone to church anyway because my wife is home sick in bed. Our priorities in life, right? And our excuses. We might laugh at the inconsistency in that man's thinking, but yet it's not that unusual. It really is not that unusual. We sometimes go through many rationalizations to either do what we want to do or don't do what we don't want to do. And sometimes these rationalizations lead us to put other things ahead of our need to worship the Lord and fellowship with our brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day. I said to someone before we started, I love the psalmist saying that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We long for every opportunity to assemble with the saints. It is good for us. It's good for our souls. It's good for our spirits. And we love to be with our families. I want to emphasize, as important as the Lord's Day is, and I know that we are to serve the Lord every day of the week. God doesn't just want Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y. God doesn't just want Sunday Christians. God wants daily Christians. Nonetheless, if we're going to give our lives completely to Christ, 24/7, then we must give Sunday, the Lord's Day, a special place on our weekly calendar. And as you likely know, there are sad and harmful trends taking place in our world today. The Lord's Day itself is under attack from the secular culture around us. And that should come as no surprise to us as our culture becomes less and less Christian, less and less thinking of what we owe to God. So there's a growing indifference among Christians about the priority of the Lord today. Fewer Christians are being consistent in worship attendance. Fewer Christians are committed to participating in Bible class studies and assemblies. But then even for those who might participate in worship or Sunday school, the chances of getting them to participate in any other Christian activity on Sunday beyond worship is low. You schedule things and people just don't show. For many people, once the worship service has ended, so has their participation and their motivation. I've been to church already. I'm done. I'm over. I remember one Sunday after services, of course, I'm at service and doing whatever I needed to do in my duties and responsibilities. And after service, went to the hospital to visit some people. And then I went home and changed clothes. In my hurriedness over the weekend, I had not gotten a chance to cut my mother-in-law's grass. And I know how she liked her lawn well manicured on Sunday. But I also knew something else. She didn't like me cutting her grass on Sunday. I said, I've already been to worship. I've been to the hospital and visited the sick. And now I'm tending to you. And as soon as I finish, I'm going to go back home, clean up, and I'm going back to evening service. Did I have any reason to feel guilty that day? No. I had done what I needed to do. But some people won't do that. For many people, once the worship service has ended again, so has their participation and their motivation in other spiritual things. So I want to spend a few minutes this morning considering the priority of the Lord's Day and how we might be more faithful in serving our Lord each day of the year. One, the priority of the Lord's Day. In Revelation 1:10, the Apostle John said, on the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. The identification of the Lord's Day should not be confused with this other phrase, the day of the Lord, which is also found in the scriptures. And let me back up and say it again. John said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Again, don't confuse it with the phrase, the day of the Lord, which is also found in scripture, and we'll talk about that later. But the day of the Lord is a technical expression pointing to a day of the Lord's coming in judgment. The Lord's day is the scriptural name for the day which is commonly called Sunday or the first day of the week. I've heard people say, well, I don't go to church on Sunday because it ain't in the Bible. You're right. The Bible never mentions the word Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y. But it does mention the first day of the week, doesn't it? And the first day of the week only comes one day, and it's the first day. And the other days follow. The Lord's day is a scriptural name for that day, which is commonly called Sunday or the first day. A respected theologian by the name of Philip Schaff, in one of his books, he said this. He affirmed that the Lord's day is connected to facts which lie at the foundation of the church. He wrote and he said, it was that day that Christ arose from the dead, that he appeared to Mary, the disciples of Emmaus, and the assembled apostles, that he poured out his spirit and founded the church, and that he revealed to his beloved disciples the mystery of the future. Schaff further said that the universal and uncontradicted Sunday observance in the second century can only be explained by the fact that it has roots in the Bible, in the apostolic practices that we find recorded in the Bible. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, I know a verse I memorized from my childhood up. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul preached to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking till midnight. Now, I don't know when he started, but it said he was going to leave the next day. He had a message to get to the people. We know that the Lord's people were told to give, as was read a moment ago, on the first day of every week. 1 Corinthians 16:2. The writings of the early church fathers attest to the priority of the Lord's day. Going back to that theologian, Philip Schaff, he explained that a proper observance of the Lord's day is a wholesome school of discipline, a means of grace for the people, a safeguard of public morality and religion, a bulwark against infidelity, and a source of immeasurable blessing to the church, to the state, to the family. In other words, next to the church and the Bible, the Lord's Day is the chief pillar of Christian society. In other words, keeping the Lord's Day. Keeping the Lord's Day has many benefits for the individual, for the family, the church, and for society as a whole. Now let's move from the priority of the Lord's Day to what we might call the assault on the Lord's Day. The assault on the Lord's Day. Now, some of us are of the age, and some of you may remember an era, when the Lord's Day was honored as a day of worship and rest, more so than today. In that day, businesses were closed on Sundays, and farmers did not work their fields on that day. Today, things are very different in regard to the Lord's Day. Sunday has become, for many people, fun day. Unfortunately, for many people, their plans for Sunday seem to leave little or no room at all for God. The assault on the Lord's Day comes from at least three sources. First, the Lord's Day for many is just a time for shopping that I didn't get around to during the week. In other words, the Lord's Day is business as usual. Sunday shopping appeals to the materialism that seems to be the basic philosophy of our culture. It's ironic that many businesses now stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but people still seem to need to be shopping on Sunday rather than reserving that day for honoring the Lord. I came across an interesting article written by Richard Morin from the Pew Research Center entitled "The Devil's Playground, the Shopping Mall." Think about it. The Devil's Playground, the Shopping Mall. And this is what he says. Who knew Satan worked at the local mall? While bars, cheap hotels, and similar places of low repute may remain America's favorite spots to sin, two economists say that giving people an extra day to shop at the mall also contributes significantly to wicked behavior, especially among people who are the most religious. Jonathan Gruber of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and David Hungerman of Notre Dame discovered that the mall effect, they call it the malevolent mall effect, by studying what happens when states and counties repealed, and some of us will remember this, the so-called blue laws. And I can remember on Sunday after church, the only place we could go was Howe's Ice Cream Store. That wasn't applicable to the blue laws. Those statutes prohibited the sale on Sunday of certain non-essential items, such as clothing, appliances, furniture, and jewelry, things typically sold in shopping malls, as well as liquor and cigarettes. And these gentlemen also found that when states eliminated the blue laws, that those who would normally be going to church and doing their things forgot about church and went about getting the things since the store was open now. And I didn't realize there are a couple of places I may like love to go on Sunday. I know that people love Chick-fil-A. You ain't going to get it on Sunday. I also didn't realize until about a month or two ago, I wanted some fish. And I drove from Chester down to Colonial Heights to Shrimp Shack. Closed. And I ain't mad at them. That's good for them. Their businesses are doing well. They don't need to rob the Lord's Day to continue packing their coffers. But they found that when states eliminated blue laws, church attendance declined, while drinking and drug use increased significantly among young adults. Even more striking, they said, the biggest change in bad behaviors was concentrated among those who frequently attended religious services. They report in a working paper entitled, The Church Versus the Mall. What happens when religious faces increase secular competition? And it was published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. They found church attendance declined after blue laws were repealed, with the biggest drop again occurring among those who went to church at least once a week. Instead of going to church, many of the faithful were apparently going astray. Marijuana use increased. Cocaine use increased. And heavy drinking also rose. These things were simply because people stopped going to church. Interesting, isn't it? But why would the elimination of blue laws suddenly provoke such an outburst of sinning among the religious? After all, six other days in the week were already available to shop or drink till you drop. And buying cocaine and marijuana is illegal on any day of the week. The churches, or the million-dollar question is, Hungerman asks, he suspects that keeping businesses open on Sunday means that some religious young people have to work on Sunday instead of going to church. Well, that again increases their exposure to sinners and otherwise weakens their resistance to the dark side. Now, isn't all of that very interesting, though? The power of materialism can weaken us in many different ways. So first, the first attack on the Lord's Day from shopping. The second attack, assault on the Lord's Day, sports. I don't care what's on. It'll be there when I get home. If you want to see it, push the record button and see it then. For many years, professional sports games have been played on Sundays, especially football and baseball. But they were played at times that didn't interrupt church going for the most part. But drastic changes have occurred in the past decades. Now children are being drawn into playing sports on Sundays, and not just after church service, but during church service hours. Young people, precious young people, who should be in church and in Sunday school and worship, are out on the ball fields. A letter to the editor of the Tennessean on June 17, 2016, addressed the arguments made to justify Sunday sports for children. Somebody's going to try to justify it. The children meet new people. They travel, they see new towns, and experience things few children ever experienced. But I ask you, at what cost? The financial expense can range anywhere from a few hundred dollars to nearly $5,000. The spiritual cost cannot be calculated. You may know parents who, by their actions, place more emphasis on sports than on worshiping God, and whose children, now grown, have no interest or involvement with the Lord or His church. And it's something they certainly regret. And that's very sad. I know you agree with me. It's very sad. I want to share a story with you. Sometimes we read stories and accounts of things, but this one is real. Anyone familiar with the name Willie Franklin? Anybody? Willie Franklin? Beverly does. I first met Willie Franklin in the early to middle 1970s. Willie Franklin is a Christian. Willie Franklin played football for Oklahoma University. He was a star. Willie Franklin was ultimately drafted by the then Baltimore Colts. Willie Franklin played for them for a couple of years. Willie Franklin also played for a couple of years for the Philadelphia Eagles. But there was one problem. Willie had this battle with his NFL team leaders. Willie wanted to go to worship service on Sunday before the bowl games. They wouldn't let him. Now, yes, this was 1972 through 74. The paychecks weren't really big at that time. But Willie Franklin was a star in the National Football League. Willie Franklin gave up his NFL career, and today Willie Franklin is a gospel preacher. We talked about favor this morning in Bible class. God gave a favor to Willie for what Willie had done for him. Willie is a lovable person. He loves the Lord. He loves evangelism. He loves his church. I think if those of you, some may remember the Eastern States Evangelism Workshop. And when the Eastern States Evangelism Workshop was first held here, think of that the University of Richmond the first time. And then they did, a couple of years later, extended it and did it at Virginia State. And Willie, on the campus of Virginia State University, Willie went out teaching students and whoever would listen. And that's the Willie Franklin that God knew. I'm sure in some ways Willie may miss football, but he doesn't have time to think about it because he's too busy serving God. I think the last time I saw Willie and talked with him, he was here in Virginia. He had come to Hopewell to participate in the Weekend of the Word. He was one of our speakers. And afterward, he finished his session. I drove Willie from the church building to the airport to catch his flight back to Texas, where he now lives. I think it's in Denton, Texas. I'm glad that I got to know our brother, Willie Franklin. And that's the sacrifice that we need to consider making. That's the sacrifice we need to make. The third attack or assault on the Lord's church, Lord's Day, is selfishness. The selfish attitude says, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. So what do we do? What do we want to do rather than honor the Lord on his day? Some might answer, I just want to sleep in. I want to watch TV. I want to go fishing. I want to play golf. I want to go shopping. I want to spend time with my family. What did you notice about all of those I wanters? Me. The emphasis is on self and what it wants rather than on the Lord and what he commands. He didn't ask it of us. He commands it of us. Just how effective are these attacks on the Lord's Day? One way to observe how effective the attacks are is to notice how the denominational world is reacting to the problem of a lack of interest in Sunday as a day of worship. John MacArthur, a radio teacher, had this to say. He wrote, judging from attendance figures, lots of church members feel spending the Lord's Day in church is tantamount to blowing the whole day. Some churches now offer their largest services on Friday and Saturday instead of Sunday as the Lord has commanded. They moved the Lord's day to meet their own convenience. That's what man has chosen to do. These services that they have are usually heavy on music and entertainment. Shame on them. I've read research that has shown that America's less committed hour of the week is Saturday at 5 p.m. And so many churches are moving their worship services to Saturday at 5 p.m. to that time, and therefore freeing all of Sunday for people to use as they wish. My mama would say, God don't like ugly. You either make the right choice or in the end wish that you had. Our commitment to the Lord's Day. Our commitment to the Lord's Day. Look again at the passage that was read. Isaiah 58, the passage for this text this morning. And it reads, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own way, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, excuse me, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In that passage, we noticed that God's people of old were not keeping the Sabbath as God had commanded, but they were doing as they pleased on God's holy day. What I found encouraging about that passage was God's promise. If they would simply honor God and honor his day, then they would find joy in the Lord. God would cause them to ride, as his word said, on the heights of the land and feast on the inheritance of their father Jacob. The same rule must be true for us who serve God under the new covenant of Jesus. If we seek to honor the Lord and the Lord's day, then surely we will be blessed. So a commitment to the Lord's day should include the following. First, a participation in Sunday school and Sunday worship. The point isn't just being present for the attendance purposes, but to give ourselves fully, to give of ourselves in full participation. We should come reverently, meaning humbly, seriously. We should come enthusiastically, meaning joyfully and excitedly. We should come expectantly, expecting to meet God and be changed. The result of participation in worship, study, and fellowship ought to be the lifting of our spirits, the encouraging of our hearts, the challenging of our minds, the transforming and strengthening of our lives. A second commitment to the Lord's Day should include a dedication to the Lord and fellowship with his body, the church. Again, let me emphasize, I'm not trying to lay down any laws which God has not authorized, and yet we are commanded to meet together and to encourage each other. Let us consider how we might spur one another. Let us not give up meeting together. Hebrews 11:24-25. For most of us, Sunday is a day when we aren't required to work or go to school. why not devote as much of that time as possible to spiritual things? Why not use that time to visit with and minister to each other? Why not use that time for devoted study and family activity? And if there is some gathering or activity of the church, then by all means, let's try to be involved in it. Isn't that right? Surely, that's what it means to honor the Lord's Day. Sun, S-O-N, Sunday. Allow me to leave you with this illustration told by a Chinese preacher. It came to pass that a man went to market with a string of 7 coins. Seeing a beggar who asked for alms, he gave the poor man 6 of the coins and kept 1 for himself. The beggar, instead of being thankful, followed the good man and robbed him of the 7th coin. What might we conclude? What a selfish, evil man. Yes, and you are not likewise to whom God has given 6 days. Yet, do we steal the 7th also? Well, today is the new day, a day that's before us. It's another chance for us to get it right. Thank God for our many chances. Why not take this day? Rejuvenate yourself and your attitude towards God with a new, renewed commitment to honor the Lord today. May God bless us as we love Him, seek Him, and strive to obey Him. That's the lesson today. The message is yours. In a moment, we'll stand and sing the invitation hymn that was announced. What must I do to be saved? The Bible teaches that first we must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. We must believe the gospel, John 20:30-31, Hebrews 11:6. We must repent of our past sins, Acts 2:38. We must confess Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. We must be buried with Christ in baptism, Mark 16:15-16. And we must continue to live steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. If you've already surrendered yourself to the Lord and today you are in need of prayers from your brothers and sisters in Christ for some shortcoming in your lives or just need to have us pray for you, you have that opportunity today as we stand and sing the hymn announced.